ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. Yesterday we were discussing on the first five verses of the sixth chapter. So if you take your Subodhini guide, page number 56, if you see, very nicely they have presented here, very beautifully. Shukadeva Goswami describes the nature of mind. Please read that second verse, never trust the mind.
Never trust the mind. You have spoken correctly, but advanced souls do not put faith in the mind, just as a hunter does not put faith in his captured animals.
This is another meaning that Prabhupada gives in his purport. Chakravarti Thakur has given another meaning. Chakravarti Thakur says, Kirata means low-class, cunning hunter, who speaks very sweetly to earn your trust. After you earn his trust, he kills you. That is the meaning he gave. Prabhupada has given alternative meaning. Why the word hunter is used? Because the hunter doesn't trust the animals which are kept under his control, probably tied with a rope to a pole or something like that. Because sometimes the animal may escape and slap him on the face and run away into the forest. Similarly, a spiritual aspirant in this world, Kshurasya Dhara, Jita Duratya Durgam Patastat Kavayo Vadanti. Like that the Vedas say that this path of spiritual life is like walking on a razor's edge. If one is careless, they will get cuts, like shaving with a clean blade. When you are shaving, if you are a little careless, you are thinking something, you do like this, it gets cut. It will start profusely bleeding. Similarly, in the path of spiritual life also, because when we take responsibility in spiritual life, we put ourselves in a higher potential. And just like, for example, if you are already on the ground, there is not much question of falling. But if you are in the first floor or second floor, you can fall. Correct, no? So if you have to go back to Godhead, we have to elevate ourselves. You can't be surrendered to Maya. Because at ground level, everybody is getting kicks by Maya. Maya slaps and kicks and whips and punches and all kinds of things. So you didn't want to be slapped by Maya. So we put ourselves in the first floor, second floor, third floor, as you climb up in spiritual life, higher and higher. Basically, the whole idea is to fly back to Godhead, isn't it? But when we go up, there is a possibility of falling down. There is a possibility of slip. Therefore, one has to, because we are at a higher potential. Right now, for example, we are following four regulative principles. That's a higher potential. So if we are careless, we will fall. Correct, no? So one should be very... falling down is more easy. Climbing up is more difficult. Even in staircase, you all have seen. Correct, no? Say you have to climb a 20-story building. You know, coming down is very easy, no? But climbing up is very difficult. So spiritual life is also very similar to that. Going up, you have to, first of all, have enthusiasm, utsaha, nishchaya, dhairyat, and do some spiritual life to elevate yourself. And then if you are careless, therefore Prabhupada says, even on a royal road, there can be accidents. So therefore, the scriptures are sometimes very strong in giving us warnings. That's the main reason. Because we should not, sabotage whatever we have achieved in many, many years can be finished in one moment. If you are careless. Therefore, one should be very careful to safeguard the acquired spiritual advancement. So Srila Prabhupada was once asked by someone that, Prabhupada, why do devotees fall down? So Prabhupada said, the spiritual master always puts his disciple in an exalted position. But the disciple, owing to his own independent mentality, he falls down, like the Prabhupada said. So spiritual master doesn't desire that we fall down. He always wants us to go back to Godhead. But we, by our carelessness in dealing with Maya, we slip and fall down. So therefore we have to be alert like a hunter. Alert means make sure that the animals are bound with a tight rope. Maybe you can use a steel rope instead of a jute rope. Isn't it? If you use a small jute rope to tie a lion or a tiger, anytime you can just do like this and run away, correct? No? So, which means we have to make sure that we strongly control the mind and senses and keep them tied to the pole of Krishna's lotus feet. Like that famous verse it says, you know, Bhavod bhava klesha shatahata hata indriya paribramana kapatantare niyamyatam madhavame manohyaha padangrishankau dridabhakti bhandane. So yeah, Vaishnava is praying in this prayer, beautiful prayer it is. He's saying, bhava udbhava. Udbhava means to generate. Bhava udbhava means that which is generated from samsara, bhava. Bhava udbhava klesha means what? Trivida tap. Bhava udbhava klesha shata ahata ahata is saying, which means shata means 100. There are hundreds of whips like that given on whom? The horse. Your horse is being whipped. And by the hundreds of threefold miseries in this world, generated from the samsara. Indriya paribramana kapatantre. My senses are running in the road of sense gratification. And when this horse is running like this, at that time he gets whips. Because he's running in a wrong road. So he's being beaten by Maya. Like that he is telling. Actually, he's not supposed to go in that road. That's a dangerous road. Say that road will lead to the ocean or something. So they want to stop that horse, so they beat him. So he's saying, Niyamyatam, oh Lord Madhava, please control this horse like mind, he's saying. My mind is like that horse. And my mind is getting whips of threefold miseries. So please control it. How to control it? Niyamyata madhava he manohyaha. Yaha means this thing. Ayaha means the horse. How? Tvadangrishankau drida bhakti bandhane. Tie this horse to the pole. Like this pole of your lotus feet is telling. When my mind is attracted to Lord Manohar, then it will remain cool, very calm. Otherwise you have seen horse. Sometimes it's two legs. Oh, you have seen that horse? But when you tie it to the pole of Krishna's lotus feet, it's very calm, cool and collected. My spiritual master was telling one example when we met him, when few of us were meeting him. So he was sharing one nice example. He said, there is one fiction character in the Western mythology. So that is a particular horse with a horn from the top. You know the name? Unicorn. They call it unicorn. It's a very ferocious horse. Although it is a horse, it's like a lion. It's very difficult to control. Nobody can go near him. Anybody goes, he will kick him. You know, kick him and punch him. So nobody can control this horse. But this horse would be controlled only when a young girl comes and catches the rope of this horse. The horse will become very docile. And when she sits down, the horse will sit down and keep its head on her lap and go to sleep. And that is the only way this horse can be controlled. So Maharaj was telling, the only person who can control your horse-like mind is Srimati Radharani. He was telling. Therefore, especially brahmacharis, if we want to rise above the lusty propensities of the mind, we have to put our head at the lotus feet of Shrimati Radharani, who is the Divine Mother. When once heart and mind are captivated by Radharani's Seva Bhav to Krishna, that is the end of samsara. Then we can go back to Godhead after that. Otherwise this horse is very difficult to control. So, in the same manner he is giving that hunter example here. The hunter does not put faith in his captured animals. Read that note. That is Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, note. Yeah.
Note. The mind takes on a new condition every moment. Just as a cunning man behaves nicely, but then robs and kills a trusting man, the mind shows itself as a pure and fixed in hearing and meditation. But given an opportunity, it suddenly becomes absorbed in sinful objects and takes away discriminating knowledge.
Yeah. Sometimes even while chanting the holy name, very dirty thoughts can come. So one may be shocked. I am doing the purest activity, but I am getting the meanest of the thoughts. Why is it so? One may wonder. So one Swami was giving a lecture. He was telling that when you keep a godown, you know, very unclean, you know, nobody feels any problem because the godown is locked. But when you open the godown door and then one day you find from the godown some millipede is coming out, you know, some dangerous creatures are coming out, then you want to clean it. When you start cleaning with the jhadu, you know, with the broomstick, then the dust arises and it causes you coughing. Some people even put a mask and they do the overhauling or cleaning and all they do. So, at that time too much dust arises. Some people even say that, why did you unnecessarily open that room? It was peacefully, you know, the whole house was very peaceful. Any of you, while cleaning the house and putting things in proper place, did you observe that after, when you started cleaning, things were all littered all around the room and you felt you were getting a chakkar? Anybody felt that? Correct? Sometimes you wonder why I started this. Everything was peaceful, correct? No? Actually, everything was not peaceful. It appeared it was peaceful, but when now we are going to arrange it in an orderly way. Once it is arranged in an orderly way, then things are proper, correct? No? Similarly, when we chant the holy name, it's like taking a broomstick and cleaning. Therefore, sometimes good thoughts will come, bad thoughts will come. One should not get frightened. Like if you take an ink bottle also, you put water in it, all water becomes bluish. And you throw it, again you put water, again it becomes bluish. But if you keep on putting water, the blueness of the water will reduce. Gradually there will be no more blueness. When you keep on putting, it becomes white water. And then you find there is no more blueness. So that means it's completely transparent. It becomes, our heart is like that. Avidya, when you put the holy name inside, avidya comes out. You get shocked. My Lord, what is this? Again you put more holy name, again it just shakes up the mind. But you keep on putting the holy name again and again in the heart, and gradually the cleansing takes place. And when the heart is completely clean, there is no more ignorance after that. So, therefore one has to safeguard. And read the third verse, it says, see, the restless mind can cheat at any moment. That's what we read yesterday. Read it, translation. Okay, we'll recite that verse. Na koryat karhijit sakyam manasi janavastite yad vishrambat chirat chirnam chaskanda tapa aishwaram.
Never make friends with the unsteady mind, because by trusting it, even Lord Shiva was agitated by Mohini Murti, and the long-standing austerity of Shaubari Muni was quickly destroyed.
Yeah. Then the next example we elaborately discussed yesterday. Mind is like an unchaste wife. Nityam dadati kamasya chidram tam anuyereha yoginakrita maitrasya patyur jaye vapumshali.
The mind gives facility to enemies like lust, anger and greed. When given a chance by a yogi who trusts it, it is just like an unchaste wife whose paramours can come back to kill the husband.
And the mind, root cause of six enemies, he says. Kamo manyur madho lobaha shokamoha bayadayaha karma bandashta yanmulaha Svikuryat ko nutad buddha.
Lust, anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, etc. have the mind as their root cause. Together these constitute bondage to karma. What learned man would put faith in this in the mind?
Not.
Just as the paramours of an unchaste wife will kill her husband, the anarthas caused by the restless mind will kill the yogi, entangling him in karma.
Yeah. So, today I gave many examples to illustrate this point about mind behaving like an unchaste wife, and unchaste wife connected to three paramours, kama, krodha and lobha, and how the paramours become the cause of the death of the husband. The husband is the soul. Huh? Actually, in a woman's body, in a man's body, in animal's body, in everybody's body, there is a soul in living bodies. And the soul is the master, and called the higher self. Huh? And the mind, senses, they are all lower self. Huh? So we have to subdue the lower self by higher self. Correct, no? That means husband should keep the wife protected. And similarly, the Atma should keep the mind and senses under control. Then you are called Goswami. Correct, no? So, and the husband should not allow the wife to become unchaste and associate with the three paramours, lust, anger, greed. Huh? Similarly, we also, we are all, the Atma is, don't think husband means only Prabhuji's. Matajis are also included. Matajis are also husbands of their mind. Is that clear to Matajis? Yeah, that means anybody who is a soul, they have man, bundi, they have man and indriyas. So they are also, the soul is master of the lower self, which is mind and senses. They also have to do the same. Huh? So, and therefore, Prabhupada says, if you don't know car driving and you sit inside a car and want to give a try, it's very dangerous. See, you have only driven a scooter. You have never driven a car. Is it good to try? Because you will not know what is brake, what is clutch, how to operate the steering, you don't know. If you start the car and put your leg or hand here and there, your car will go and hit a tree and there will be an accident. Similarly, Prabhupada says, the living entities don't know how to use their senses. That's like not knowing how to drive the car. Mind and senses. Suddenly they are given a body with senses which gives some gratification and they go crazy. The living entities. So we have to therefore take a shelter of a guru in parampara and learn what are these mind and senses, what is soul and how to subdue them and how to keep them under control. We have to become an expert car driver. Similarly, we have to become an expert driver of our mind and senses. Like Prabhupada gave another example in a lecture I heard. He said, sometimes when you, like in Kanyakumari, you must have seen, they have a boat. You know? When you put your, when you are inside a boat, as soon as they start rowing the boat will go like this. You have seen that? That's a, like this boat, a vessel. So it goes like this, then all the people will scream, except that fellow who is a boatman. Because he has seen it day in and day out. Every day he is rowing the boat. So what he will do, when the boat goes like this, he will keep one leg stretched and another leg he will bend like this. When the boat goes like this, he will stretch this leg and bend this leg. You have seen that? And he just, you know, moves it. He knows which side to do that. And he will be laughing when everybody is screaming. Because he knows how to control the boat. Similarly, we have to know how to control the mind and senses. Prabhupada says, actually, if you know the tricks of the mind, you will not get cheated by the mind. Therefore, we discussed at length yesterday. Because mind is like a naughty child. Actually, many parents know the nature of a child. So, therefore, they are very expert in caring for the child. Like you can see, when a child comes running fast, and dadal, he falls on the ground, the first thing he will do is get up and look around. Even if he has got a little wound, little blood, you know, he will look around. Mother, father, no one is there, he won't cry. Correct? Because there is no use crying. Because nobody is going to, you know, show sympathy to him. Correct, no? Whereas the moment he finds mother or father, then he will start. Basically, he is looking for attention, sympathy. They will have to catch him and cajole the child, pamper him, give him some lollipop. All that he expects. Similarly, our mind also has certain naughty natures. If it is known, then in advance, then one will not bend oneself to the mind's demands. There is something called mental hunger also. You know, what is mental hunger? After you finished your prasad, like that you did. After that somebody is bringing a Giriraj Swan Babadi. You know, everybody is taking it and you are also thinking that, you know, how can we reject prasad? Prapta matrena bhaktavyam. So, actually nobody is going to punish you if you don't take it. Or you can take it and keep it inside. Night you can take it. Some or other one is inspired to take little and then little more and then you finish one or two pieces. Although there is no belly hunger, there is mental hunger. What is this? Mental hunger. So I gave many examples for brahmacharis yesterday. I will give a few examples for grihasthas today. You see, you will see that how can the mind trick the grihastha devotees. When they go to a supermarket, they will return back home and cry, I never wanted to spend so much. You know, they actually plan to spend 2,000 rupees and they would have spent 5,000 rupees. Why? Because when you see in the supermarket, it appears, if we buy this and keep it at home, it may be helpful. It? Maybe. If not, it is surely helpful. Maybe we will take this also and keep, that also and keep, this also and keep. So you buy several things and the bill becomes a stout bill after that. So you can ask anybody, they will tell you this experience, that mind, this is also mental hunger. Although there is no immediate need for it, but we take it and keep it. Similarly, brahmacharis also collect books. How many have experience of collecting books which you never could read, you didn't get time? Correct? That is also mental hunger. There is no immediate time for you to read it. But then you think, maybe I will read in future. Like I have many times in my travels, one time I carried a dozen books with me. And I brought it all back, one page I didn't read. Whole journey people kept me busy. So I was telling Sujit Prabhu, I am like a beautiful donkey. I carry books and bring it back. You don't get to read one page of it. So it's due to greed we carry so much. So your intelligent devotee means just carry one or two books and you finish it off and bring it back. Correct, no? So in the same manner in grihastha ashram also, if you want to buy what you need, then you don't need so much money. But we tend to buy too many things. Too many things. So in the same manner, another way the mind will cheat, any grihastha devotee can share their experience, you will see. They say that, you know, the child should know the world around. You know, they can't be just only Hare Krishna, you know. What is happening in the outside world? Otherwise, how can a child survive? So it is better to have a TV. And we can show in a very restricted way some news items and some educative programs and maybe some cartoons. After all, child, you know, we all came to Krishna consciousness after 25, 30, 40 and all. Why to force this in the child? The child will get too much bogged up with Krishna, Krishna all the time. So let us give some little, you know, exposure to the outside world, because neighbor's child is so intelligent. I want my child also to be very intelligent. Thinking like this, parents buy a TV. Now the child, when he grows up, he has gone to tuition or somewhere and parents are watching TV serial. And if you ask, hey, what is this? You are watching TV. Actually, this TV was purchased only for a child. But child has grown up now and somebody else is watching it. You see, this is one way Maya can sneak into the lives of devotees. Actually, Maya for devotees doesn't come from the front door. She comes from back door. She knows. If you imagine, if somebody comes and says, TV, you would say, no, we don't watch TV. We don't watch now. We are Hare Krishna devotees. We have Tilak Kantimala. We beat back. We are serious devotees. So Maya says, not for you. Don't worry, it's not for you. You don't have to watch TV. But you are a child, you see. Please take it from back door. This is how Maya is very smart. Maya comes from back door. And it can cheat a person very easily like this. Similarly, there are many people who come and ask me, Prabhuji, I want to become a fired up devotee and me and my wife want to dedicate our life by 40 only. I said, why 40? Generally, panchasha urdo manam brajet, after 50 only. Why 40? No, Prabhu, why I am saying 40? We will just go to America for 5 years. We are 35 now. By 40, 5 years we will earn out money for the whole life. And then by 40 we will join full time. I used to tell them, you don't need to join by 40. You stay at home and continue serving in India only. Huh? Because if you go to America, yadgatva nivartante. People who go never come back. So now why is, see, he want to go to America, but he comes and tells me he want to join at 40. Why? Because he feels that is a carrot for me, you know, that I'll come and dedicate my life at 40. I said, you don't have to give me any carrots. You keep carrot with yourself only. See, it is your spiritual life. You can play with it if you want. But there are very few devotees who can go to West, earn out some money and come back and settle in India. Very few can do that. I tell people, you know, don't ask for my blessing. You know, it's your life. You may be intelligent devotee, make out money and come back and stay in India peacefully practicing. Or if you want to stay in America and preach, that is also no problem. But wherever you are, what do you do? Preach, be connected with devotees. You know, money making should not be the goal of life. The goal of life should be practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness. So this is another trick which can come in Grihastha's life. Because sometimes husband and wife come together and say, wife may say that, see, if only we have money, how peacefully we can go to the morning program in temple. You know, we can join the festivals. You know, we can ourselves host a program. We have a small 2 BHK. If you go to America and come back, we can have an independent bungalow in India and we can host a program. So the way the things are put up appears very colorful. Correct, no? As if money comes and you become a pure devotee. You know, it appears like that. But when money comes, head will spin. That time, nobody has control of the senses. Pocket mein paisa aa gaya, bas, chakkar bhi aa gaya saath mein. Nobody can control the mind. Therefore, brahmacharis also, why they have to be simple? Because if we become too opulent in use of lavishly using things and all, then what happens? It goes to the head. And we lose the simplicity, genuineness. You know, a lot of duplicity can come in. And we get addicted to luxury. That addiction to luxury is a great curse in this world. Even demigods are crying also. Kim dushkarair nakratubi tapovratair dhanadivirva dyujanena falguna nayatra narayana pada pankaja smriti pramushta atishayendriyotsava. See the last line they are saying. Smriti pramushta. Our smriti is lost. Our remembrance of Narayana is lost. Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankaja. Narayana's lotus feet we are not able to remember. Why? Atishayendriya Utsavat. Because of too much sense gratification, they are saying. The heavenly planets. So, in this way, even in family life, one can get tricked or cheated. If one is not careful with the mind. We can be tricked by lust, by anger, by greed, by all these things. So therefore we devoted some time for it. So where the, you can go to the book, 6th translation, 566.
Lord Rishabhdev was the head of all kings and emperors within this universe. But assuming the dress and language of an avadhuta, he acted as if dull and materially bound. Consequently, no one could observe his divine opulence. He adopted this behavior just to teach yogis how to give up the body. Nonetheless, he maintained his original position as a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudev, Krishna. Remaining always in that state, he gave up his pastimes as Lord Rishabhadev within the material world. If following in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadev, one can give up his subtle body, there is no chance that one will accept a material body again.
Yeah. So the Shastras say a sannyasi should leave his body in some unknown place where none of his relatives, friends will come to even know about him. This is not for Vaishnava sannyasi. This is especially for impersonalist, such kind of sannyasis. Or yogis also. Why it is said, when a person is approaching death, he should not suddenly develop attachment for any of the relatives, friends and all. Then he will have to be born again. He has to come again. So, When I was there in Saswad, when Sundarar Prabhu and Sankirtan Prabhu's father was taking treatment there, you know. And the last day, actually I had gone to meet him. Probably that next day he left. Next day, early morning, he left the body. So I had gone to meet him. So so I talked to him for about half an hour, and then he told me to sing Gopi Gitam. So I sang Gopi Gitam also. So one amazing observation I made, he had told both the sons that none of the ladies in the family should come, daughter or anybody like that, nobody should come in front of me, because if they come and they cry and they develop attachment at the time of leaving the body, you know, then I will have to come again. I only want to surround myself with, you know, spiritual vibrations, completely. So he told them to continuously put the Maha Mantra and Vaishnava songs. And when I went also, he told me, don't ask me anything about the body. Tell me something about Krishna. Huh? And sing the Gopi Gitam, he said. And then he also sang one Marathi poem, which I remembered, which he sang many years ago. I reminded him, so he also sang that. And he told, and he said, I don't need any sympathy for the protection of my body, because my body is a falling away thing. It will fall off. But I need some spiritual inputs which will inspire me to go to a higher plane. So this is real intelligence actually. Real intelligence at the time of death means take spiritual inputs, elevate yourself as much as you can, and go back to Godhead, not wasting our time in this world. So many of the renunciates, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know what he did, Yudhishthira Maharaj? When he came to know that Krishna has left the world, you know, he took a kashaya dress, saffron dress, took a stick in the hand, took off the crown and put it on Parikshit, enthroned Parikshit, and he didn't talk a single word to his brothers also. He walked towards north. Seeing that Bhima got up, Arjun got up, they also walked behind. So Yudhishthira saw that all family members want to ask him something. He knew that if I take permission, they are not going to allow, they are going to cry. They will say, at least one more year you can stay. They will say. So he didn't talk to anyone, walked straight. Then they all walked ahead. Draupadi and you will find, Kunti, they closed their eyes and completely absorbed in meditation on Krishna. And they also left their body. And they went to higher regions also. So now north means what? You may have a question. Heading towards north means what? I asked this question to one Bhagavatam speaker. He was telling, heading towards north means people go in the Mount Everest is there, no? The people like we go to this Badrinath, Kedarnath and all we go. It is such a long distance. For lifetime you can keep walking. Every day little distance you can keep covering. People keep walking from one place to another and they keep chanting Lord's names. They get experiences on the way from different meeting, different people of different civilizations, and they depend totally on God for food, clothing, shelter, everything. They have nothing in their hands. This is a total dependence on God. You don't know what food you will get today. Sometimes you get, sometimes you don't get. Drinking water, sometimes you get, sometimes you don't get. And living place also, if you have no living place, you just have one blanket, you wrap your body around the blanket and go to sleep wherever, under a tree or somewhere. You put faith in God, there may be, you know, forest animals and reptiles. But people who head towards north, they live like this. And in the course of going from place to place to place like this, they get aged, they get old, and in remembrance of God, they leave the body. And the purpose of their moving from one place to another is to not become attached to one place. Because if you are in one place for 3 days or more, you develop attachment to that place. So they don't stay for more than a day anywhere. Even Goswamis also slept under trees in Vrindavan, but Prabhupada says they never slept under the same tree for more than one day. And they changed the trees also. Why they changed the trees? Because you can become attached, hey, this is my tree. You may say, hey, why are you putting your blanket here? Somebody may say, is it? So the whole idea is not to become materially attached, but to have only spiritual attachment. They would go like that. So, and also the yogis at a certain point of time create mystic fire in their body and they quit the body, at what point of time, when they can elevate their soul to the Brahmarandra through the six chakras, you know. The Mooladhar is the bottom most. From Mooladhar, then Manipuraka, like that, there are different chakras are there. The six chakras, they elevate it. Yeah. Initially, they are not able to elevate very powerfully. It jumps like a frog, then it jumps like a monkey from one chakra to another. When they are competent at a certain stage, it can move like a snake. Therefore, you will find in some yogis' pictures, they will put a snake here, at the bottom, Mooladhar, which means the Kundalini moves like a snake. So a yogi brings the soul to this point. Right now the soul is here, in the region of the heart. How it is in the region of the heart? Because there are 10 airs, 5 prominent and 5 subtle airs. They are all at equilibrium. Like this, they are all different direction. Like if you see prana keeps coming out, udana keeps going in. There's another air which goes like this. Different airs in our body. So they all are in equilibrium in the region of the heart. So therefore in this region of equilibrium the soul is present now. So, but the soul can be elevated from here up to this point by moving the equilibrium point through the Kundalini raising. Through the Kundalini raising, they will move it. So, they will bring the soul here. The soul, the Kundalini is like energy, but using that they bring the soul here. When the soul comes here, they can break the kapala. There is a soft portion in the skull, what we call as pituitary glands, we call it. So, when they break it, then they can go to any planet of their choice. But most of them go to Siddha Loka to get Siddhis. Prabhupada says they can also go to Vaikuntha Loka if they want. Only problem is wanting is a little difficult. Because they don't depend on the Lord so much. They are trying to elevate themselves on their own. Of course they concentrate on the, super soul, the heart. But there is a lot of self-exercise on how to elevate oneself. So they observe the mind, they observe the intelligence, they try to elevate themselves like that. So they consider the body a burden. So they are supposed to give up the body. Some people, you might have heard, they take Jala Samadhi also. You heard it? In India, Jala Samadhi Jeevan Samadhi also. Some people actually, they at a certain point of time, they're ready to leave their body. They're ready actually. They have become a Jeevan Mukta now. So they don't want to continue living in the world anymore. They just sit in meditation and they leave the body. And then the Atma comes out in a sense. Similarly here, Rishabhadev also is walking the path of a yogi. who is having siddhis, but he doesn't use the siddhis. But he wants to show the path of renunciation, utter detachment. Therefore he is saying here, one can give up subtle body, there is no chance that one will accept material body again. So the goal of such yogis is to quit the material world and never return again. This is the next one. Seventh one.
Actually, Lord Rishabhadev had no material body. But due to yoga maya, he considered his body material. And therefore, because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave up the mentality of identifying with it.
For Krishna to identify with his body is not Dehatma Buddhi. For us, Dehatma Buddhi means what? Deh ko Atma Manna. Which is wrong actually. We have a double body. One is a material body, one is a spiritual body. Whereas for Krishna, body and soul are one. But here, Rishabhadev considered that, I am coming to teach the naked sannyasis, as was said earlier. So he considered his body material due to yoga maya, like that he says. So he played like ordinary human being. And go ahead.
Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kutakachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest, naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman.
So seventh. See, here he says, just as I say, hear what he says here. Read this one.
Just as a small child puts anything that he receives in his mouth, Rishabhadev had a stone in his mouth. He was naked. Asambhita.
Yeah, correct. So he had become a Jivan Mukta already. Huh? Eighth one.
While he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of bamboos, which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhadev were burnt to ashes.
Purport.
Such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals, but Lord Rishabhadev was not burnt, although he apparently seemed so. Lord Rishabhadev is the super soul of all living entities within the forest, and his soul is never burnt by fire. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Adahyoyam, the soul is never burnt by fire. Due to Lord Rishabhadev's presence, all the animals in the forest were also liberated from material engagement.
Yeah, this is Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah.
It has mentioned that he disappeared. How did this happen? This verse describes the event. The fire burnt up the forest along with Rishabhadev. The fire burnt up the gross bodies of trees and animals in that forest. Rishabhadev burnt up their subtle bodies. Thus, by his mercy, all the animals and plants attained liberation.
Yeah. So, now when somebody hears that Rishabhadev entered the forest and, you know, he also burned with the forest fire. And so one may think, oh, that means his body is like our body, like human body, one may think. But in this particular pastime, he is actually teaching the yogis who consume their bodies in the same manner. Either a yogi enters a forest fire or he creates a mystic agni within himself and he leaves his body. So he is making the pastime of teaching the yogis complete by this. But when these kind of things are said, one may get little suspicion. Is that really true? Or is Rishabhadev, did he leave the body? Was he ordinary man? This kind of doubts can come. So you will find the Lord's passing away is always a very mysterious pastime. Like Lord Krishna was sitting in, what is that place he was sitting? Prabhasa Kshetra, under a tree, and his lotus feet appeared like some deer. And then a hunter from a distance saw the deer's face, and then he hit an arrow. And the arrow came and touched Krishna's lotus feet. And the hunter came there to pick up the deer, and to his great shock, he saw Krishna was sitting there, and he came running and he fell at Krishna's feet and cried, "My Lord, I mistook your feet to a deer and I hit you." And he cried. And Krishna told, at that time when the hunter bowed down and lifted his face, he saw that Krishna showed him a 400 form with Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma, everything. And all of them were in their personified forms also. And then Lord Krishna smiled and said, "I bless you that you go back to Vaikuntha right now." So the hunter ascended to Vaikuntha. So this is what is there in Bhagavatam. So Chakravarti Thakur has commented there. And what he says, if the hunter hit an arrow and the arrow pierced the leg of Krishna, what should the next verse say? He immediately came and removed the arrow and put some malampatti or something, you know, in the leg, and then he must have brought some jadi buti to cure the wound or something like that. There is no mention there, correct? No? On the contrary, you find, you know, he offered obeisances. Instead of he doing some service to Krishna, Krishna did a service to him by sending him back to Godhead. Like that he says. Another point there in the purport is mentioned about how this hunter Jara, Madhvacharya gives his explanation based on a Puranic story. So he says that this hunter Jara is none other than Bhrigumuni. This Bhrigumuni, as you all know, kicked Lord Vishnu in one of the pastimes, finding out who is supreme. So at that time he created a very terrible offense, because even to offend Lord Vishnu with verbally is considered an offense. What to speak of kicking him on the chest. Although we got a good lesson for the world that Narayana is supreme, and he's very tolerant. At the same time, Bhrigu got a big offense. So Lord at the same time thought, this offense on Bhrigu's account, how it can be eradicated. So then the Lord made him become a hunter, Jara. Now how would Bhrigumuni become free from his offense by becoming hunter, Jara? Because a hunter has to eat flesh and drink blood. And he also killed so many birds and animals like that. So it's a very lowly, what do you call it? Lowly birth. By the lowly birth, he will become free from the offenses committed. But the Lord saw that this hunter is still around, but I am going back to Vaikuntha. What will happen to the hunter? What will happen to Bhrigu? I want to deliver him. So Lord thought, in order to deliver him, one of the easiest way to deliver a person is to produce repentance in his heart. Prabhupada says repentance and penance, two things he says in one of the purports. When there is repentance in the heart, one is inspired to do penance. When one does penance, one is elevated back to Godhead. So the Lord wanted to produce sudden repentance in him. But right now the hunter is not repentant. He is in a very cool mood. He thinks everything is alright with him. But to produce repentance, Lord Krishna arranged this pastime of Jara from a hidden place, hitting Krishna at the lotus feet. And then when he came out, suddenly it produced repentance. Alas, alas! He cried out. And he cried and he fell at the feet of Krishna and begged for forgiveness. So, and cried tears bitterly, remorsefully. So Lord smiled. Why? Because his aspiration to make him repentant was succeeded. Lord succeeded in doing that. And Lord thought, now Bhrigumuni's punishment is over as hunter and his repentance is complete. Now what is left? Going back to Godhead. So he sent him back to Godhead. So this explanation is coming in a Purana. Just like we have Maya Sita explanation. Like that, this is also another explanation given. So, and the ordinary people do not know this, and even if they know this, they can't realize this. Because they have their own notion that, you know, somebody hit Krishna. You know, there is the place in Pravashitra, they have put a board. This is the place God died. He was telling, Parampuja Rajanath Maharaj was once telling. God never dies, only you die. In this world, you die not once, again and again, millions of times. Ordinary grass, materialistic fellows can never understand. So, in the same manner, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Tota Gopinath temple and he entered the sanctum sanctorum and he never came out. Because he entered into the lotus feet of Tota Gopinath. After that, he didn't come out, remembering Lord Krishna in his mind. So, by entering Tota Gopinath's lotus feet, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the spiritual sky. Correct, no? So, in the same manner, Andal, she was asked by her father, whom do you want to marry? She said, I will marry, you know, my very dear Lord, who is very dear to my heart. And she said, the Supreme Lord, who is called Narayana. But then the father said, Narayana? Narayana is there in 108 Divya Desams. Then she told the father, okay, come, show me one by one all the lordships and tell their glories. I will hear them and then I'll choose one of them as my husband, she said. So then the father told, narrated the pastimes of each of the deities all over the Divya Desams in south. After hearing all of them, she said, now I have decided Ranganath will be my husband, she said. So the father also had full faith in what she is saying. Father didn't ask, how will you marry a deity? You know, then she took a garland in her hand and went to the along with the father and big procession, marriage procession. Generally in marriage procession, ultimately when husband and wife are supposed to garland each other, isn't it? And marry. Here in this case, instead of going to some Mangal Karyalay, they went to Ranganath temple. They took her to Ranganath temple with the procession and kirtan and everything. So she went into the altar, sanctum sanctorum, and garlanded Lord Ranganath, and next moment she entered into his lotus feet and she never came out. So sometimes even the devotee's passing away is mysterious also. Similarly, you know how Narottamadas Thakur passed? See, when Narottamadas Thakur died, all the Smartha Brahmanas and others, they became very happy. They said, very good, he died because he tried to give Diksha to Brahmins. Therefore he died so early. God has taken away. So they were all criticizing, speaking like that. So he rose from the dead. You know that? Although everything was finished, the sanskar, everything was supposed to be done. He rose from the dead and who said I have died? I am here now, right now. Again he was there. Then later on when he actually died, you know how he passed away? He went to the Padmavati river, from where he got the love of God also. Because Lord Chaitanya had deposited love of God in Padmavati river. Even in Mahaprabhu's time, with other devotees surrounding him, Mahaprabhu once went to Padmavati river and cried out, Narottam, Narottam, he cried out. And all asked, who is Narottam? We don't know. No, he is not here, he will appear in future, he said. And then he said to Padmavati river, I am depositing some love of God in you. So when he comes, you should hand it over to Narottam. So he deposited it in Padmavati river. So once Narottam Das Thakur went and took bath, he got love of God from there. And then in the same Padmavati river, Narottam performed his ending pastime. When he entered the river, his body became completely like milk. For everyone to see, his whole body became whitish milk spreading in all directions. Where all the disciples saw it. So in this way, you will find the ending pastimes of sometimes acharyas or sometimes the ending, like ending pastime of Tukaram. He went back to Godhead in a Vaikuntha plane. Because Lord wanted to show the world that if you are a devotee, you will go back to Godhead. Similarly, here Rishabhadeva wants to show the yogis, especially the naked sannyasis and the detached and renounced people, this is the way you have to live and this is the way you have to leave the body. So he's showing, so one should know that this is a mysterious pastime of the Lord. And also, you will see that after the passing of the Lord, if you see the next verse, he has directly gone to the further subject. There is no lamentation on the Lord's passing. Correct, no? Imagine if somebody entered a forest fire and they died or something like that, everybody will cry. There will be at least 2-3 verses. Everybody cried out, alas, alas, he died or something like that. Here you don't find any... Same with Krishna also. There is nothing to cry because the Lord never leaves his spiritual body. His transcendental body is inseparable from him. That is the point. So let us go to the themes. Rishabhadeva was emperor of the entire world. How is it that people mistreated him in Avadhuta dress? His 100 sons did not give protection to their father Rishabhadeva. Actually, Rishabhadeva definitely did not look like as he was when he was a king. Actually, when people put Avadhuta vesh, nobody can know who they are. Prabhupada also says that when people take to the renounced order, lot of veshbhush changes completely. They grow long hair, long beard, long mustache. Just like Vidura also, when he left the palace, he changed his veshbhush completely. Nobody could know that he was a minister. If he, imagine he wore royal garbs, and then he was walking on the road with a royal dress and royal parade with others. And then people ask him, kya ho gaya palace mein? Logon ne baga diya aapko. Aisa hona nahi tha. Hum hain aapke saath. Aayye hum. That kind of thing will come, correct, no? So he didn't want any sympathy from anybody. So he changed his external appearance. Nobody could detect he was Vidura. Same, even our Rupa Sanatana also, when they were working with Nawab Hussain Shah, they had long beard, mustache and this also. Muslim topi also. Yeah, they looked exactly like Muslims. Nobody could say they were Rupa Sanatan. So much so that even Chandrasekhar Vaidya could not, ascertain who this person was. When Mahaprabhu said, there is a Vaishnava outside, find out. He went and saw and said, nobody is there, he said. Only Chaitanya could understand. So in this way, when a person is taking Avadhut Vesh, he certainly changes his external appearance. Yakad is still continuing? Okay. We are in 6th chapter. Okay. Now we will go to this theme is over now. Adapting behavior to teach the yogis how to give up one's body. Transcendental body of Lord can never be burned. And then we are going to the next one. 5, 6, 9. Read the 9th translation, please.
Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, the king of Konka, Venka and Kutaka, whose name was Arhat, heard of the activities of Rishabhadev and imitating Rishabhadev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, King Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which are free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to Vedas. That was the beginning of the Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions followed this atheistic system.
Read some more purports.
Purport.
Up to 11. Purport is there? No. Purport, there are not many points. You can directly go to the next 10th one, translation.
Particularly Jain religion.
Yeah. So, Prabhupada says. It is written here. Swadharma Patham is written. But Jain people accept Rishabhadev. They talk about Rishabhadev as one of the Tirthangas. They talk also. That's what Prabhupada has put Jain Dharma. Yeah. Here's the next one, 10th.
People who are lowest among men and bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord will give up the original Varnashram Dharma and its rules and regulations. They will abandon bathing 3 times daily and worshipping the Lord. Abandoning cleanliness and neglecting the Supreme Lord, they will accept nonsensical principles. Not regularly bathing or washing their mouths regularly, they will always remain unclean and they will pluck out their hair. Following a concocted religion, they will flourish. During the age of Kali, people are more inclined to irreligious systems. Consequently, these people will naturally deride Vedic authority. The followers of Vedic authority, the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees.
Purport.
Presently, the hippies in the Western countries fit this description. They are irresponsible and unregulated. They do not bathe and they deride the standard Vedic knowledge. They concoct new lifestyles and religions. There are many hippie groups at the present moment, but they all originated from King Arhat, who imitated the activities of Lord Rishabhadev, who was situated on the Paramahamsa stage.
That means a Paramahamsa becomes an avaduta to escape the trouble of the public. Like Gaurakrishnadas Babaji, you know, he was living in Vrindavan. Many rich fellows would go to him to become more richer and beg for some material benediction. So sometimes he would go to some place to, you know, chant his rounds. You all know where he would go? Yeah, public lavatories, where it's nasty smelling. So see, chant inside, can you imagine? I don't know whether any of us can chant in such a place. Even a temple hall we have difficulty. But Paramahamsa can chant anywhere. So he wanted to avoid the public disturbance. He would go. So Babaji's, you'll be shocked if you read about Gaurakrishnadas Babaji. You know, he would take the cloth put on dead bodies. He would use only those cloths. Can you imagine? No other cloth he used. That's the cloth he used. Actually, therefore we say Vairagya. What do you call it? Sakshad Vairagya Murti. Yeah, that he represents great Vairagya. Extreme simplicity and extreme Vairagya. If you tell people to avoid a little luxury, people become angry. But the way he lived, you can read that there is a book on Babaji, Gaurakrishnadas Babaji. So you'll be shocked by the kind of Vairagya that he adopted. So somebody gave donation he had made a lot of rasagullas. People thought that we will have rasagulla feast. You know what he did with the rasagullas? Yeah, he fed to all the animals of the dam. He said they are very special, he said. Very peculiar, huh? Very amazing. And one day he said, tomorrow is a festival day, we will celebrate all day tomorrow. And they said, but there is no money. He said, why do you need money for celebrating? We will chant all day, he said. That is our celebration. So that means a Vairagya celebration is chanting all day. And feeding rasagullas to the cows and dogs of the dham. You make rasagullas and feed them. Isn't it? And you use the cloth that is put on a dead body. That is the cloth you will wear. So, Rishabhadev also exhibited Vairagya like that. So, Paramahamsa can exhibit such Vairagya. If a common man imitates that, how pathetic it will become, you can imagine. But why will a common man imitate? To show off public popularity, cheap popularity. Read further.
King Arhat did not care for the fact that although Lord Rishabhadev acted like a madman, his stool and urine were nonetheless aromatic, so much so that they nicely scented the countryside for miles around. The followers of King Arhat went under the name Jains, and they were later followed by many others, particularly by the hippies, who are more or less offshoots of Mayavad philosophy because they think themselves the supreme personality of Godhead. Such people do not respect the real followers of Vedic principles, the ideal Brahmanas. Nor do they have respect for the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme Brahman. Due to the influence of this age of Kali, they are apt to concoct false religious systems.
Why Prabhupada is bringing hippies here? You may think Jain is alright, but why hippies he is bringing? Because the hippies grew long hair, long mustache, long beard, and they would never take bath. They would just goggle the mouth in the morning, that's all. They would not brush their teeth. They would never bathe their body, and it would be stinking. Until somebody tells you, you are too much stinking, then only they may take bath. In some countries, I heard they take bath once in 2 weeks. So that day is actually called a shower day. Isn't it? So, therefore Prabhupada is comparing them. And another thing is, many hippies who came to Prabhupada's class, you know, they would stand in the middle of the class and say, Swamiji, I am God. One boy told, I am God. And Prabhupada came to know, this fellow had done his doctorate thesis on absurdity theory. So he was claiming he is a doctorate student, and Prabhupada, you know what he said? When he said, I am God, when this boy said, Prabhupada said, that's what everyone thinks about themselves. And Prabhupada would actually defeat them in various ways. Sometimes he would say, God is the most handsome. Are you the most handsome? Look at you, how you look. Or God is the most rich. Are you the richest? You don't have even a few dollars with you. God is the most strong. Are you the strongest? So all the people around understood that this fellow is simply a laughing stock. Good for nothing. So Prabhupada actually separated the audience from the man by proving very philosophically. So in this way, and 11th also you can complete the translation.
Low-class people, due to their gross ignorance, introduce a system of religion that devotees from the Vedic principles, that deviates from the Vedic principles. Following their own mental concoctions, they automatically fall down into the darkest regions of existence.
12th also.
In this age of Kali, people are overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Rishabhadev incarnated himself to deliver them from the clutches of Maya.
And then that goes on. The next verse is, and I'll glorify Rishabhadev. Read the next 13th verse.
Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Rishabhadev in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains 7 seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His incarnations as Lord Rishabhadev and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity.
So that section we will read when we come back, after Prasad when we come. So I will say a few words about this imitators of Rishabhadev, and then we will proceed. Shall Prabhupada ki?